Deifta, Aubinakin. Welcome to podcast number 39. Well, I'm trying something a bit different today. I'm actually recording an introduction of this out on location. We've just had a couple of days up London, up on missionary work in England. And now I'm back home and we're down on Baby Bay, New Pulse F. So I'll see how clear this is, but 'tis handsome down here. The sun is shining, 'tis beautiful. But today, to start off with, I've just got about 10 more minutes of dear old John Champion, carried over from last week. So we'll go over to finish off my yarn with John, which we carried on talking after we stopped last week, and then I'll round off after that. So here we are now, a little bit more talking with dear old John. Speak to you directly. Right, we're back again, John. And when we turned off last time, we was talking about the Undertakers at Rock and Weybridge. And, of course, it was the Pokernorns, wasn't it, at your time?
Yeah, Archie.
Yeah. I suppose, of course, back then they wouldn't have no chapels of rest or nothing, would them?
No.
No.
No, I mean, our grandfather was up in bed, up the stairs.
Yeah.
Only in a little two-bedroom cottage, but really.
And they was kept there.
He was up in bed until he was buried.
Yeah.
And back then there was no burial ground left there for Tilly.
No.
So he was took up some timber. But Grand died, and we opened a bit more ground, and ground was buried down there.
Down there, yeah, that's right. Because now Perthilly's full again now, so it is everybody back up some timber now.
Yeah, of course, back then they didn't know where the burial ground is now up some timber.
Yeah.
That was still over the Bodigo then.
With a cricket club and all? Because the cricket, right next to the cricket pitch, we were, of course, back then it was the churchyard.
Yeah, it's going to be a churchyard.
Yeah, that's right. And there were no hearses back then, and how did they? Because I knew you carried.
Well, they did have hearses, but.
Right.
I don't know, I suppose save expense, or I don't know what they thought about. I thought they'd try and help the family by. But I know we carried Doug Gerard from Pittamead right down for Tilly.
Yeah, and that's on the poles like we do now?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I remember my granddad used to say out with you, they'd carry on the poles.
Yeah.
All the villagers would be there,
that's right.
You know, taking over from each other.
Yeah.
Well, I never. And then what was you saying about cockles and all that then? Was that granddad, was it?
Granddad,
yeah.
That was before my days.
Yes.
He got crippled up with his legs a bad, you know. So
yeah.
But prior to that, apparently, he used to go down there and dig him up and bring him in here and flog him in here.
And that was down Perthilly Beach, was it?
Perthilly Beach,
yeah. Used to get there, yeah. We
rode on the cockle bar, as they called it.
Yeah. God.
Yeah.
And were you saying about the upper deck then? Do you say that was a cafe?
Yeah.
Back then?
Jim Fernley opened that up. I believe. He when he built that place, he had bought a lot of their building material.
Right.
Came from Brian Parkin over at Padstow.
Yeah.
Because he had come over when they had the, you know, what is it, Rock Sailing Club.
Yes, yeah.
That was Brian Parkin's store.
Yeah, I see.
And he delivered all the stuff around. But when they built.
Was there a lot of trade then going on between Rock and Padstow then? Or no?
Well, it seems quite a while. But, I mean, back then, they'd have the coal boats who could come in Padstow and unload.
Right.
And then some of it would be brought over to Rock.
Yeah.
And weighed. But then after that, they'd load it all up in railway wagons and bring them up here.
Right.
To be weighed.
Yeah.
They had to be weighed down here on the weighbridge in the station.
Yeah.
And then they go back, perhaps some in Bodmin, some up in Brewerd, some different places.
I get it.
Different coal merchants.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
But it's always, the barges always came in and loaded. We've loaded with, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know what how many ton they would carry.
No, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
And of course, the barges couldn't get up. But then Ranks had a store down here.
Right.
Down where the Port Isaac doctors are
yes,
now.
Yes, I get it.
Like, down there, because there was Davies Builders.
Yeah.
And then there was Joseph Rank.
Right, yeah.
And they used to get a barge come up with flour for Ranks.
Get away.
Go and then, was it the Old Ears here in Whitebridge, back then, they used to deliver bread, flour and that for...
Yeah.
From Ranks, you know, to like Barnegat's or
The river was pretty busy, really, though, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say busy, but there was always something doing. Yeah. It wasn't that active, but there was flour and coal, and that was delivered definitely. Yeah. Timber.
Yeah.
Timber for F&J's.
Yes.
Or what was F&J's?
That's right. And did you have many refugees in the war then?
Yeah, they had a lot of evacuees.
Evacuees, evacuees.
Well, say that Vic Jones and that.
Yes.
They was all, I think they were all from the Chiswick area.
Yeah.
I think.
Oh, yeah. Well, I never. And do you say they stayed in Trefresa, did he say?
Yeah. I think there was two or three of these Boyd Joneses.
Yes.
Stayed in there.
Yeah.
Ledbow and... Yeah. Harold.
Yeah, that's right. Of course, Vicky's still living. He's out Amble. Yeah. Still, isn't he?
Yeah. Quite a character.
Yeah. Well, every time I see Vicky, he says, I ain't ready for a yet.
Yeah, I can imagine him.
Oh, lovely. And, of course, there was Landers as well out Rock, wasn't it? Did you say he was called Sid, was it? Is that Harvey's father?
It's Harvey's father, Sid. But, I mean, it was Chris Lander who had the bus.
Right.
There was Fred Lander who had the, he had a, in behind Rock Chapel.
Yeah.
If you go down, he was a big house up there.
Yes, yeah.
He lived in there.
Oh, right.
He built that one.
Yeah.
Prior to that, he was down, nearly down the bottom of Rock, where Chris Lander used to keep his bus.
Yeah.
Fred Lander would keep his horse down there.
Oh, right. So... With Landers, what did they do in the shop then? You say little repairs and that, did he say?
Yeah, repairs, charging accumulators for your radio and all sorts of little bits and pieces.
Yeah.
Sell paraffin.
Oh,
he had a petrol pump outside as well.
Yeah, right.
When I first started driving, I used to go up there, and, that was when I was born a kid.
Yeah.
3 gallon of petrol, Y5 and 9.
Get away.
Old money.
Cool. Was Clock Garage there then?
Garage was
it
there.
It was still there, yeah.
Norman Cleave.
Yeah.
But prior to that, his father-in-law was Fred, his wife, she was a Bennett.
Right.
He actually owned the garage.
I see.
And when Norman Cleave married his daughter, Blanche, that's when Norman took over the garage.
Yeah. Was the social club how long
ago? Social club, no. That was started at the beginning of the war, I think.
Oh, was it?
With the Home Guard and Norman Cleave started, I think, mainly.
Yeah, I see.
That was.
Because that's thriving now, really, isn't it?
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah,
I was a member there for a while, but...
Yeah.
But, of course, when we was home on leave, me and Les Bailey, and we was doing Rock Hotel, right? I was doing Rock, dinner times and evenings. And
yeah. Oh, never. And the Upper Deck, say, that was a cafe.
That was a cafe originally.
Yeah, what
else? That was
only
built, like, beginning part of the war, I suppose, or maybe a bit before that. In fact, one time, Jim Fernley used to go out the evenings fishing chip van.
Oh, right.
And then during the summer months, he converted somehow into an ice cream car. Yeah.
Cool. So was there any, what else was down there besides Upper Deck and that?
Nothing very much.
Nothing.
Rock Hotel, really. Was it?
That was it, yeah.
As you pass the Upper Deck and the Rock, the Wreckers, as he is called now, isn't it? The pub there.
Oh, the Mariners?
Mariners.
Yeah.
As you pass there, you have big houses set back off the road.
Yes.
That was the old Boogie Lander.
Oh, right.
It was Dr. Lander. We used to go on Boogie.
Yeah.
But on the end, there's some alterations going on there now.
Yeah.
That was where they had horse stables.
Oh, right.
That's what they was. They built where they're altering.
Yeah, that's now. Right. Yeah, because they've kind of, I think they've scanned it down and redeveloping it to bigger property. Like,
cool. Then opposite side of the road, Roscorna House, that was Admiral Adams.
Yeah.
Rear Admiral.
And then there was the Tuckers.
Tuckers, that's what I mean. Tuckers.
Yeah, where was their, they had a garage?
Right, yeah, they had the shop.
Right.
Right next door to the pub there.
Yeah.
And they had the petrol pumps and garage down the slope.
Yeah.
That's all been knocked down and built there now.
Yeah. 'Tis amazing how there was fewer cars, but there was more petrol stations than there is now, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was. Yeah. But I think there was only like two of them allowed to have petrol during the war.
Oh, I see.
I don't know, I can't remember exactly what it was. Because,
yeah.
I mean, it was after the war that I started driving. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You had to take a proper test and all, did he? What was involved with that, with driving tests?
I never took a driving test.
No?
Never.
No?
When I joined the Navy, prior to joining the Navy, during the war, you was allowed, once you were 17, you could get a driving license without having to take a test.
Right.
Because that's when they never had no driving inspectors back then.
No.
And because you started driving then, you never had to take no test. And I've never, the only driving test I've ever taken was when I was in the Navy.
Yeah.
Because for a little while I was a dispatch rider in Devonport Barracks.
Yeah.
And that's the only test
you ever
that did. Was by a dockyard dispatcher.
Yeah. Go off, Peter. All different now.
Yeah. Yeah, my God, yes.
And there we are. Just a little snippet more of John. I say, I hope you enjoyed that. And I know we'll definitely be speaking to John again in the future. And I'm open, if next week, I've got something bubbling in my mind, is just if I get a chance to do it, because I looked at my diary and, well, I'm flat out next week, but if I can squeeze in, I got somebody else that I'm going to try and do a little interview with. So I got lots of ideas coming up, and fingers crossed anyway. But 'twas lovely to hear about rock in the old days, and I say, beginning of this podcast, I was down Baby Bay, down New Polzeath. And 'tis funny, really, because Cornwall, 'tis got so many beautiful places. And I don't know, as the years go on, you go through phases of having different happy places, as they call them. And, you know, it could have been like Tregurles when I was younger, Trevone, Constantine, Damer, Bodmin Moor. You know, you places you'd end up going every week. And I don't know, it's funny, the last 6-12 months, it had been kind of Polzeath, New Polzeath, Rumps area that you just seemed to get drawn to. And I say, we was out there again tonight. Beth went for a dip in the sea and I took my little notepad down just to make a few notes for this podcast, because it might sound like it is all thrown together a bit chaotically, which sometimes it is. But I do, if I do have a bit of time, try to put a little bit of thought into it. So I took my notepad down, and that's how you had the little introduction at the beginning, which didn't come out too bad. And also, I needed a detox, I tell you. We just whipped up to London just for 48 hours. And last night we were stuck, just near Wembley. And we was waiting for our bus. It was, 11 o'clock, and the traffic was chaos, absolute chaos. And we was stood there by the bus stop, must have been an hour, and the traffic was queued up. And I reckon I inhaled a year's worth of car fumes in that 1 hour. So I just felt I needed just to get out Polzeath, out by the sea, just to breathe in some fresh air. So t'was handsome doing that. And then we just went for a quick walk again up around Pentire Glaze and that before we come home. So, that's good. So I've detoxed, so I'm raring to go. I'll try not to go on too long this week. We've had a busy week again. We had a large attendance up with you all there on Monday, and then Tuesday again, a very large attendance out Llanivet. And of course, one of the mourners that come in was dear Richard Gibbons, and he said to me, I've been listening to your podcast, he was some long this week. And I thought, it did go on a bit longer than normal, so I thought perhaps I'll try and cut it down a little bit. But we was out Tuesday evening. We took the dogs for a walk. We parked up by Kevin's there up, nice Baps, and walked down Bramble Lane. And for those of you that don't know, obviously all the older locals like myself, before the bypass, that was a fantastic shortcut, a real rat run. You went in by the lay-by there and, well, Bramble Lane, it went all the way down to the top of Green Hill. And 'twas, say, before the bypass where the traffic would be queued up, almost up Three Owls Cross. And it was just the locals that knew it. And the road then also, when you went down Eglisale, by Dick Brewer's there, it would come right out by Clapper. And of course, when they put the bypass in, Bramble Lane now is just a dead end. And, you know, what was a real good little run and a good run, a good road is now, well, say getting grown over. But it is a lovely walk with the dogs. And of course, being a Tuesday evening, it was the bell ringing practice for Eglisale bell ringers. And it was lovely, still calm evening. So I just got my phone and I just did a little recording, twin the clearest, but you could hear the bells coming up over the fields and there was birds in the fields as well. And I did put it on my Facebook page and I will put it on the work RJ Bray Facebook page just so you can hear what I'm talking about. But that gave me a little idea as well what to talk about this week, the bell ringers of Eglisale. So this song, from to my knowledge anyway, have got two titles. One is The Ringers of Eglisale and the other one is Eglisale Ringers. And I've heard, well, up to five different tunes that have been sung with this song. I've actually got a couple. I've got one with Dear Brenda Wotton and the other one, I think they're called Warm Gold. That's the two different tunes that I've got. I did go on YouTube and there was another one and I started doing a bit of research and the one I heard, well, he committed the cardinal sin, shall I put it that way. When he started off, he said Eglisale and I stopped it. I couldn't go no further than that, so I couldn't do that. But there was a William Rickard that used to sing it a lot. And then I say also Brenda Wotton and Dear Charlie Bate from Padstow as well. He used to sing it in his repertoire too. And I think in the coming weeks, I will do a little bit on Brenda and Charlie too, because they were two real big names in the Cornish folk movement back in the 60s, 70s, etc. But before I do go on, also, when you mention Brenda Wotton, you got to mention John the Fish, John Langford. And dear John, for decades, really, very good folk singer. But also I got to know him first through he was a humanist celebrant and he conducted a lot of funerals for us, John Langford. And we got on so well and it was so sad that he passed away January this year. But him and Brenda, they did a lot of singing together. And I say we'll do a podcast on they in the future. Anyway. Back to the song. So this song was, well, about a team of bell ringers here from Eglisale. And, well, was it the best team ever in Cornwall for bell ringing? I wouldn't like to say. But if you listen to the lyrics, I will go through a few of them with you directly. But the team of five, and 'tis all local names. I love it. 'Tis names that are still round here today. The team was Humphrey Craddock, John Ellery, John Pollard, Thomas Cleave and John Goodfellow, and they're all local names that are still around here. And they, wherever they went, they won the prize and they were fantastic. And I think, well, if they was ringing in today's era, I think all your young whippersnappers like Phil Tremaine and Dave Williams and Bryce Brown and all their gang, well, I think they would. Do you think they'd knock Spocks off there? No, I wouldn't like to say. I don't want to start any arguments here. But they were a fantastic team and they were all buried, actually, all five of them in the churchyard here at Eglisale. And that was between, I think they all died between 1821 and 1846. And like I say, here's just a few of the lyrics, but it goes something like this. They went up to Linlivery. They brought away the prize And then they went to St. Jude, and there they did likewise. There's Stratton men, St. Mabon men, St. Izzy and St. Cue. But five lads of Eglis Ale can all the rest outdo. Proper. Like I say, they didn't mention St. Colum or Llanivet or Llanidroch or Bodmin, so I don't know, but brilliant. And then, of course, you got today's team. You always get the feeling that they've always been hanging back a bit, almost like embarrassed about their decades of domination, that they're just holding back a bit just to let the others have a little bit of the limelight. But, I mean, the team today, I say, they practice on a Tuesday, and or winter time for us, say, we only live a stone's throw away from the church, and we've sat down in our front room there on a Tuesday evening, got an open fire, and the actual noise of the bell, well, not a noise, the music of the bells is coming down the chimney. And it's quite nice, really. But the team today, I mean, the captain is Steph Davey. Dear old mate, Steph. The Davies, they've been tied up with the bells for a long time. Dear old Ted, his father. I mean, I've heard, I don't know what their ringers' outings are like now, but I know back when Ted was on with Mick Bear and everything, well, they was legendary. And back when I used to have a little drink in and out, it was always my ambition to go on a ringer's outing there. But now that I'm teetotal, well, that's something that I'll just think about, and I'll leave their youngsters carry on with it. But like I say, Steph there, he's the captain now. And after that, well, we got dear Sarah Bennett. She's the vice captain. And then you got Dave Warren, Carl Serba, Dave Cornell, Steve Watkins, Rob Davey, John Taylor, and Emma Miller. And that's the team there today. And, well, before I forget, us, the Bray family here, will always be eternally grateful to that team, because they rung at Father's funeral and they did a brilliant job, and it's something we'll never forget. So I think that rounds up me little tale tonight about the ringers of Eglis Ale. So I thought for me Cornish word this week, 'tis two words really, and 'tis church bell in Cornish, which is clogmuir. I think I pronounced it right. Clogmuir. And that is church bell. And for me Cornish dialect this week, well, here at Eglis Ale, we got the estuary right up, coming up by the church. As I've said before, that's where the name comes from. And we got the ducks here. We got the Canada geese. We've got lots of birds and wildlife there. And of course, we got the swans. And so I thought that would be my dialect for this week, which is ducks is swans. And really, that's like somebody, they think that whatever they got is better than what you got. So they would always say to them, they think that his ducks is swans. So if they think that theirs is better than yours, they say they think their ducks is swans. So there we go. Well, I hope you enjoyed that. And I'm going to love you and leave you now. And we'll see you again next week. Have a good one. Take it steady. Do Guinness and wish you well. Cur nobis fecund.